So we're continuing to look at God's antidotes to common causes of stress. So this morning we're going to be looking at God's antidote caused by indecision. Please take out the sermon notes that have been prepared for you. In your notes, indecision causes stress. See, life is a series of choices. Life is a series of decisions. Success is really a matter of making wise choices. You make dumb decisions, and you will fail in life. But decision-making can be very stressful. Indecision causes stress. You do not always know what's going to happen. Would you agree? Have you ever been afraid that you might make some wrong decisions? Sure, we have. Some of you right now are facing the stress of indecision. Maybe you're facing a major issue with your job, or it may be with health needs, or it may be your finances. And you're asking, shall I hang on or shall I let go? Shall I get in or shall I get out? Should I get a new job or should I move? Or should I get a second opinion? The stress of indecision gets to you. Now there is God's antidote to this stress of indecision. We're looking at Psalm 23, verse 3. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The antidote to this stress of indecision is let God guide you. The Lord is my shepherd. And in this series on Psalm 23, we have noted not only that the Good Shepherd feeds us, but he leads us. The Good Shepherd not only provides for us, but he guides us. The Good Shepherd not only protects us, but he also directs us. God says, I will guide you through life. I will guide you on the paths of righteousness. See, that means that he will guide you on the right paths. It means that today, the Lord keeps you on track. Would you agree it's easy to get off of track? It's easy to get preoccupied with all the trivia, to be majoring in the minors. Sure, God is the one who keeps you on track in life. But some of you are saying, it's difficult to get guidance from God. You can't always figure it out. Why? Why is knowing God's will so difficult? Does God play hard to find? Or does he play the game of hide and you go seek? No, of course not. Because God wants to guide you. In fact, God wants to guide you more than you want to be guided. Today we're going to look at three ways of getting guidance from God. But one of the problems is that we often look in the wrong things, wrong places, when we're seeking God's will. So we first want to look at three wrong ways in seeking God's will. Number one in your notes, some people, they look for the mystical approach. They're looking in your notes for a feeling. They want to be swept off their feet with some great emotions. They want to get a quiver in their liver. The mystical approach. Number two in your notes, other people, they try more the methodical approach. They are more logical. These people are looking for, in your notes, a formula. They want a recipe, a formula. 9 easy steps to always know God's will for their lives. But see, God's will is not a formula. Number three in your notes, other people, they look for the magical approach to find out God's will. But God's will is not magical. This approach is looking in your notes for the fantastic. This is the fantastic sign. It's the writing in the sky. It's that direct phone call from God. But God's will is not a feeling. God's will is not a formula. And is not something always fantastic. So therefore, the mystical, the methodical, the magical approaches lead us all frustrated How do I let God really guide me? I want to look at three biblical ways to receiving guidance from God. In your notes, number one, admit I need a guide. That's the starting point. I must admit I need a guide. The truth is that this is really kind of tough. And it's especially tough for men. When men are lost, they do not stop and ask directions. We men are not wimps. Are we going to ask for direction? No way. Not a chance. It's not the nature of man to stop and ask for directions. But look at Isaiah 53, verse 6. Every one of us has strayed away from like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own. So in your notes, sheep by nature wander. See, by nature, sheep tend to wander off. They get off the path. So sheep need a good shepherd. And so do we. Because we stumble. And we get confused. And that is what the Bible says, the real problem. Why we don't know God's will. Because most of the time we don't want to follow God or anybody else, whether we're Christians or not. We really just want to go our own way and do our own thing. In fact, we like to sing that great hymn by the great Christian theologian Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. So by nature, we do not want to follow God. We wander. We don't want to admit that we need a guide. In your notes, sheep by nature also have poor vision. Yeah, sheep have poor vision. They can't see very far. People often say he's blind as a bat. People should say he's blind as sheep, because sheep just cannot see very far ahead. And that's why on a path they themselves cannot see if the path is going to go off a cliff or if it's leading them into danger. They badly need a shepherd. They need somebody to guide them. Likewise, you and I are like sheep. Human beings cannot see into the future. You and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, much less 10 years from now. So why did God make you and me that way? Well, the reason is that then you would depend on Him. Because God wants to be your good shepherd. God wants to guide you. And without a guide, you're just like sheep. You tend to stumble. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Have you ever made a decision that seemed right at the time, but later it turned out to be wrong? Sure we have. See, some paths lead to death, dead ends. They go nowhere. And that's why it's so easy to get off track. We will stumble. First step. Then is to admit that we need help. I need a guide. God does not help guide many of you many times because many of you won't admit that you need Him. So number one, admit it. In your notes, number two, the second biblical way to receiving guidance from God, ask in faith for Him. Number one, admit that I need a guide. Number two, ask in faith for direction. See, Jesus said it this way, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Ask, seek, knock. The first letter of each of those verbs spells out ask. So we're to ask, seek, and knock. Just look at James 1, verse 5 and 6. If you want to know what God really wants you to do, ask Him. Circle that phrase. Ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. For He's always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask Him. But be sure that you really expect Him to tell you. See, the Bible says God is willing to give us wisdom. He's willing to direct you and to guide you. But you must do two things, at least, in your notes. You must ask God. You must ask God, not Oprah Winfrey, a website, or Dr. Laura. You ask God. God, what am I supposed to do? Then you ask with the right attitude. In your notes, that is, ask in faith. You must ask in faith. Have you ever asked God for something that you did not really expect to get from Him? Sure we have. We often say, hey, God, guide me, and then we walk out the door and we go our own way. God has promised to give us His wisdom. But what is wisdom? In your notes, wisdom is seeing life, all of life, from God's point of view. Wisdom is the ability to make decisions the way that God makes decisions. Wouldn't you like to have that wisdom? Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. See, God always bats 1,000. God never made a bad decision. God never makes a mistake. So if you let God guide you, if you ask in faith for His direction, you won't have to worry ever again. Number one, admit that you need a guide. Number two, ask in faith for direction. Number three, on the back of your notes, listen for God's response. You listen for God's response. Look at Job 33, verse 14, where Job writes, God does speak, sometimes one way, sometimes another, even though people may not understand it. Do you realize that this church is filled with radio waves? There are messages going across this room right now. Oh, you cannot see them, and you cannot hear them, but you have the, if you had the proper reception, you could tune them in. You could hear the messages right here. But without reception, we just do not see them, nor do we hear them. Why is it that a radio can hear those radio waves and all those messages? Because it was created that way. It was created by its creator to pick up radio wave messages. Listen to this application now. God has designed you and me to hear His voice. There is a receiver in you and in me to get guidance from God. God would not have made you without one. Out of all the creatures that God created on this earth, only human beings have the ability to tune in to God, have the ability to hear what God has to say. So you say, how? How come don't I ever hear from God? Because either you have the receptor turned off, and therefore you're never establishing a relationship with God, or perhaps you're just too busy, or you may be just on the wrong channels. See, if God is on channel 1, and you're on channel 13 all the time, you just are not going to pick up God's messages. God speaks to us all the time. Why don't we understand? We are just not tuned in to God. What are the channels that God gives to speak through? I've noted 4 of them in your notes that God speaks. In your notes, number 1, God speaks through the Bible. The Bible. That's the primary way that God speaks to you and to me. In fact, that's why we call the Bible God's Word. It's God speaking to you. A lot of the direction that you need for your life is right in God's Word, the Bible. You just need to read it. See, God says that life is a journey. So God has given us a roadmap for this journey. And the Bible is that roadmap. God has given us a compass also. And the compass is our conscience. It helps us to know right from wrong. See, God has given us His Holy Spirit as a personal guide. God speaks through the Bible. But if you do not read it, you're going to get lost. If you never memorize God's Word, God can never bring it to your mind when you have decisions to make at work or at school. You ask, is that the right decision? And God helps you, reminds you of His Word that you memorized. And you say, that is exactly what I'm supposed to do. Or sometimes maybe not do. But God's will is found always in God's Word. Now don't use the skip and dip approach to reading your Bibles though. Don't flip open your Bible, point your finger down and say, God, show me what to do. Here it says this or here it says that. That's what I call the skip and dip method of reading your Bibles. One guy used that method and said, God, please, please, show me what I have to do today. He opened his Bible. He put his finger down. It said, Judas went out and killed himself. He thought, this certainly wouldn't be God's will for me. That could not be. So he closed his Bible another time. Uses the skip and dip approach again. Opened his Bible, puts his finger down. He read, go and do thou likewise. He said, no, no, that can't be what God's will is for me. That just is not right. So he goes for 2 out of 3. He opens his Bible the third time, puts his finger down, and it says, what thou doest, do quickly. That's the result of a skip and dip approach of reading your Bibles. Don't use it. You need to read and study your Bible every day. Number two in your notes, God also uses preaching to give us his will. Preaching. And number three in your notes, God uses teaching. God seeks to guide us through the preaching and the teaching ministries. Have you ever been in church or in a Bible class and you're thinking he's speaking directly to me? God speaks through preachers and through teachers. And number four in your notes, God also speaks through pain. It says that God whispers to us in our pleasure. God is shouting at us in our pain. So does God get your attention when you're in pain? You bet he does. Like the old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. So in conclusion, we know that God is speaking to us all the time. The question is, do you have your ears on? Are you listening? Sometimes God is going to lead you in paths that do not always make sense to you. And we're going to be asking that question, what's going on? It may involve a tragedy, maybe a crisis. It may involve a lot of pain. We're going to be asking, what's going on? Well, look at Psalm 77, verse 19. Your road led by a pathway through the sea, a pathway no one knew was there. See, in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were set free after 400 years of slavery, they came to the Red Sea. The mountains were high on each side, and there came an Egyptian army behind them. And again, they're saying, what's going on here? But God knew exactly what's going on. See, God can see what you and I cannot see. Some of you are facing financial dead ends. Some of you are having an emotional dead end. Some of you have a relationship dead end. Where is it all going? What can I do? In your notes, you must trust God when you don't understand. See, God can see a path that you and I do not even know about. So trust God. And in your notes, never judge the path God leads you on until the end. Never judge the path that God is leading you on until the end. Look at Psalm 37, 23 and 24. Please read it with me together out loud. The steps of man are established by the Lord. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Life is a journey. That mystery, that tragedy, that crisis, that chaos today causes you to say, I see no value in this. But one day you will understand. One day you will see the big picture. So in your notes, God's path always leads to heaven. We need to trust God. We need to trust God's path does lead to heaven. And finally, the good news is that man's path always crosses at the cross. At the cross of Jesus is the place where all paths cross. Because Jesus suffered and he died for our sins at that cross. Our path needs to lead us to the cross of Jesus. It's there that I, number one, admit I need a guide. It's there I must, number two, ask in faith for direction. It is there that I must, number three, listen for God's response. Jesus is our good shepherd. Amen.